And Sister Dorothy was singing that song about a vision of heaven. I mean, I got to thinking about folks I got over there. And she was talking about people getting visions and of what they've seen. And those things are all just great. I'd never take away. I mean, I've heard various ones and had first-hand experience that have talked about it, read testimonies of others. But I am, and one thing that I do believe is in the Scripture, He said, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that the Lord's prepared for them that love Him. And I've meditated on that. And though we may get a little glimpse, and that's usually all a vision is, a little glimpse, God's Word tells us it's better than that. That little picture, even in the testimonies that was given tonight, all the artists that have drawn pictures and those that have described their visions, God said in its entirety, it's much better than that. And I tell you, I feel like heaven's a place I want to go. It's not just a place that seems to be the best option of the two. Although there are some people that they go to church and they try to serve the Lord out of fear because they really just don't want to go to hell. But I want to tell you, hell is not an option as far as I'm concerned. I didn't just pick the best one of the two. I'm on my way to heaven and I want to go there. It sounds like a place where we belong. After all the years of suffering and toiling down here, He said, Jesus speaking there to His disciples in John, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's going to be a place we ain't going to have to worry about the things we're worrying about right now. He talked in the book of Revelation of the seven no mores. Seven things that are not going to be there. And you can go over there and read those. And I'm so glad they're not going to be there. But it's going to be joy in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's going to be worth the journey. What few things we have to endure down here. You notice what the writer said. He said, enter in, ye blessed of My Father. You've been faithful over a few things. He described it as a few things. I will make you ruler over many. What few things we have to suffer in this life. It's going to be worth the journey when we get to the other side. And even though all we have is just a few glimpses and a few stories and a few Bible chapters that tells us of the splendors of eternity, and it's not nearly enough to give a full-fledged description of it, it is enough to let me know that things are going to get better. And I really want to go to heaven, don't you? I mean, I really want to go. I'm excited about the thoughts of going to heaven. There was a time you could hardly mention going to heaven among church people. They'd break out in a shout. I mean, just the thoughts of getting over yonder and that little bitty reprieve that we get from time to time when the Spirit of God settles down in our soul and carries us away into that third heaven that Paul got carried to. And we get a little glimpse there of that peace that passeth all understanding. Well, we forget that the world's even going on anymore. I'm telling you, God wants us to go. It's His desire that we make it. And if I'm not doing anything else right now, I'm going to preach. Lord willing, just in a moment. But I want to encourage us. Think about the splendors of heaven. These little descriptions we're getting, they're not insignificant. But put all the pieces together, and it only makes heaven more real. It only makes it more of a goal for all those that have had to endure a great fight of affliction. Sin has been great, but God is still great. greater. The battles of this life seem to be strong, but our God is much stronger. Come on, and He said, we shall be strong and do exploits. I am encouraged in the Lord tonight as much as I've ever been in my life. Before church, Brother Les said he liked it. I hear folks say good and great. Well, I tell you, I'm doing great. I'm serving a great God. I've got a great salvation, and I'm on my way to a great destination. There's nothing that's any more great than that. I'm not great in myself, but where I'm going to, I'm convinced that this is for me. I'm sold out on Jesus. I'm wrapped up in this, and I'm not concerned about anything else that's going on in the world. Just give me Jesus, and I'll be satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, if in the other city, amen, that we're going to, if there were no streets of gold, no gates of pearl, amen, no walls of jasper in that new Jerusalem, just for what I can feel where I'm standing right now, if that would just rest upon me for eternity, that would be heaven to me. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. And that city is coming down. The Revelator said it's coming down. I said it's coming down. Even though that the astronomers have looked out through all their telescopes and tried to describe to us how many millions of miles they've sent up satellites and taken pictures, but somewhere just beyond the lens, the reach of the lens of that astronomer and all those that have studied the stars, there is a city that's got gates, amen, of pearl, amen, handpicked by God from the beaches of eternity. Come on, they're only about 1,500 miles high. Come on, we could never fathom that. But it's on there, and God said, I prepared a place for you. I'm telling everybody right here tonight, God's got something in store for every one of us in this building. And the reason He's dealing the way He's dealing, and the reason the Spirit's moving the way it's been moving, is He doesn't want you to be left out. He doesn't want you to have to go there. Come on now, He already told us that there is no preacher ever for the few words that we find in the Word of God that were penned in red. Amen. That were the words of the Lord as the interpreters have spoken. And none ever spoke so straightly, nor sincerely about, come on now, the effects of hell as did Jesus. But I'm glad that through the mouth of His preachers that He has spoken to us from the Revelator all the way from through the mouth of Paul and into the Old Testament, that while they may not have preached hell as much as Jesus did, they give us the promise of heaven. And I want to tell you tonight, somewhere in our life we've got to make a decision, a total sold out decision. You can't make your decision upon the day to day routine of everyday life. You cannot make your decision based upon what this one does or that one does. For everything here that would bring a decision is temporal. But what I'm telling you about tonight is eternal. And an eternal decision brings an eternal reward. And if you really want to go to heaven, there's only one way to get there. You've got to go through the door through the blood of Jesus Christ. Make up in your mind. My Bible tells me that God has promised that if you would just come and submit yourself to Him, come on, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Can I tell you tonight, there is none like unto our God, and his desire is for you to be a part of this great reward of the inheritance of the saints of God. Well, this may not qualify as preaching. If it's not, I'm giving you a lengthy testimony about the real reward of the people of God. And what little dose that I felt of the Holy Ghost tonight reconfirms my convictions. Come on now. It reestablishes my faith. Come on, I don't have hope in this life only. See, if you're looking for hope in this life, you're going to be disappointed by the day-to-day changes that take place in people, that take place in circumstances, that take place in life in general. But if your hope is beyond this world and your treasures are over on the other side, that ought to tell you that it does not fade away and it never does change. Come on, the sun may not shine through the clouds tomorrow, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if by chance the clouds roll away and it's bright blue skies, or if we have a snowstorm, or if a bomb is dropped on Flatwoods, Kentucky, it does not change the face of God. It does not change the power of God. And it does not change my eternal destination. I'm telling you tonight, in spite of everything that I'm trying to calm down and go somewhere else, I think I'm going to a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. And you, in this service tonight, I feel the pull of God. I mean, I feel a pull. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. If I be lifted up, that's got a twofold meaning in it. In the fact that we must lift up Jesus. We must lift up His name. And the lifting up of His name will draw attention to Him. And it will make people look upon Him rather than upon us. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I'm telling you, I'm what I'm doing right here, what I'm trying to preach tonight is to lift Him up. I preached a few weeks ago on what Isaiah saw. He saw Him high and lifted up. But the second fold meaning is that once He ascended, come on now, amen, He will come back again. It was the promise when He led them out as far as Bethany. Come on, and He was taken up. And the angels that were there said, why stand ye gazing? Come on, in like manner as you see Him go away, He will return again. I'm telling you, He's coming back. And He's coming back after a church that's without spot and blemish or wrinkle. There's nothing wrong with them. They've made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. I feel like telling you tonight, there's a pull in this service. The Lord is drawing men. He's got a hold of your heart and a cord and a rope. He's lassoed you tonight and He's pulling on you. I say now is the time for you to make the decision concerning eternity with your soul. I feel the pull. No man can come to the Lord except the Spirit of my Father draw him. It's been years, but my grandmother used to have a well And it was fine, Brother Jason Painter, to walk out to the well and to sit and move the handle back and forth a little. It was set. It was neat to look over in that and see your reflection in the water way down in there. It was unique to look at that rope as it just dangled there. But there was no bucket on the well. If you ever wanted to get anything out of there, you gave that rope a little tug, it filled up with water, and you started cranking it in. I feel like tonight that the Lord is reaching down into somebody's heart, and He's reeling you in. Come on now. You're getting more excited about this than your emotions are even showing. We're sitting here tonight. Some of us are sitting here with straight faces and trying to conceal the true emotion of our heart. You say, preacher, if it's really like you're telling me, come on now. If it's really like it sounds like a good place to go, why, it is. Everybody ought to want to go. I do not understand for everything in me. Why, anybody wouldn't want to go there. I told Tim this evening, we was just talking, and I was going and praying, going to pray. I'd done been praying, was going to pray some more. And he made an inquiry, something along the lines of why I was trying to pray so much. And I told him, I said, son, there's souls that's in the balance. I said, the value of a soul has been pulling in my heart for days on end now. And I've got to do my best to try to pull somebody in. While I'm still praying today, I said, God, I know I'm feeble in a lot of ways. My words are not eloquent. I'm not a smart man as far as that goes. But if I could just throw out a few words and I'll land right in somebody's heart, and they just like an arrow, and I can tie a rope under the end of that, and I can pull them in here, then Lord, it would be worthwhile. I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven. Ask anybody tonight, want to go to heaven with me? Then I'll tell you, you've got to make that decision that you really want to do it for yourself. Several years ago, before we went evangelizing, God had been dealing with me about it. But it was my theory that everything had to come in alignment before I made the leap of faith. I didn't really want to leap. I wanted a smooth transition. And so I kept telling myself, over the course of 2 years, I said to myself, when I get all these things lined out, I'm going to try my best to get my debts paid off. I'm going to try to get everything in line. I'm going to do the best that I can do. But I found after 2 years, we wasn't getting out of debt. I was getting deeper in debt. Instead of things lining up, they were getting worse out of line. Instead of things coming around, it became a chaos. Instead of things falling into place, they were falling apart. I'm just telling you how it was in my life. But when I finally, after the Lord got my attention, after a fall and a surgery and all the other things that happened, amen, concerning myself, and I'm not telling you a sad story. I said, Lord, I'm going. And we went. And it wasn't until after that I committed myself that everything started lining up. And everything came in place. Everything that was falling apart was put back together because we was in the will of the Lord. A preacher friend called me the other day and he made mention something about pastoring a church or something. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, I want you to understand, I've not fought for the past 4 years to get in the will of God, to mess up and get out of His will. The most important thing for me now is to do what thus saith the Lord, you hear me now. And so I'm trying to tell somebody
somebody right here tonight. And you can't wait for things to line up. You can't wait for things to fall in place. You can't wait for everything to get just like you want it. It's not going to happen. The Lord says, come on, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's not until you make a leap. Come on, I thought when I took that leap, I was going to fall for a long way. But when I took that step, it was more stable there where I saw nothing than it was where I saw everything. Can I tell you tonight, God wants to stabilize your situation. God wants to stabilize your circumstances. But you've got to put Him at the top of the list and involve Him in your life in order for that to be done. Hallelujah. We may have to take a vote on the quality of this preaching tonight. I mean, I don't normally do this. I like it better when I've got my plans. I like it better when I've got my 4 pages of notes sometimes. I like it better when I've got my text, and I had 3 or 4 of them marked tonight. But for some reason, when I got up here, God turned me a different direction. It wasn't my intentions. I'd have never told you that I'd be saying what I'm saying right now when I walked away from that pew a while ago. Come on now. Brother Randy even asked me, said, "You ready?" I said, "I think I'm ready as I'll ever be. I thought I'd zeroed in on it. But all of a sudden I got up here and the Lord began to turn a different direction. God knows exactly what He's doing. And I know that I could stand here tonight. I could threaten you with the flames. I could threaten you with eternal damnation. But before we ever get to that, I want to tell you just a little bit about the love of God and the power of God. Listen, it's not all dismal. God's not going to hold a 45 to your head and make you serve Him. But He will offer you His nail-scarred hands. Come on, as a remedy for every situation that you've ever been through. See, He's already made the bread. Come on now. That reconciles man unto God. And it's through the blood. You hear me tonight? I'm trying to tell you. You're trying to figure this out. And God said, "Let me do it. Let me finish it. Just make up your mind that you want to go to heaven." That's right. Some folks take vacations and they go various places in the world and they come back with their description, and it's just the way they take a select picture or two here and there. When I went to Israel in 98, I took several rolls of film of things that I thought were the highlights, the beauty. I never took the pictures of the things that were terrible looking, those things that were depressing. I wanted to bring back the best report that I could bring. But I want to tell you, we could take a picture of glory from every angle. On the top side, inside, outside, any side you want to look at it. And there is nothing that's negative in any of the tones. Come on now. The gold is not tarnished. Come on now. And the streets, they're not dirty. Come on now. The river is not contaminated. Hallelujah. Whoa! Come on, in the light. It's not artificial. You never have to worry about a burnout. Because the light of that city is Jesus Christ. I gotta tell you tonight, God is reaching for somebody. It may be an unusual way that I'm preaching tonight. And I wouldn't consider this, amen, the kind of preaching that I would have desired tonight. But I've gotta tell you here, God's got you on His mind, and He's trying to tell you how much better you're going to be by coming over to this side, by getting on this side. You've got a promise that things are going to change that you do not have on the other side. There is
no guarantee. You'd have no hope that things are going to get better. On the other side, but on this side, on this side, mama, come on, this could be shouting preaching. For everybody in here tonight, saved and unsaved. Because this is good. This is great. There ain't nothing I like better than feeling what I'm feeling right now. We used to sing a song, "This is like heaven to me." I'm not going to try to sing. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Hallelujah. I know you never thought. You never even thought when you came to church tonight, entered into this sanctuary, that heaven and earth was going to make a connection. But they have. You thought that when you walked in here, it's going to be maybe another dismal service. That preacher's going to get up with a pocket full of rocks and he's going to hammer everybody in the building again like he's done for the past 2 weeks. But I come in here tonight with a message ordained by God. It's not in the notes and it certainly wasn't in my text. Amen. That God has let a little heaven settle right down this service. And I begin to see the evidence sweeping through the building as hands are going up in the air and they're reaching for that. That they know is the only help that they have in their troublesome times. And can I tell you tonight, friend, it's the only hope that you got. It's given to Jesus. You've run from it long enough. You've tried to handle it and to brace yourself and to calm your nerves. But there is nothing like the power of God being demonstrated in men and women's lives to change the negatives into the positives while we live.
I guess I forget about that. I feel something just... I can't hardly describe to you. I want to weep and shout all at the same time. What would make you want to do that, preacher? Just sing about heaven. Just sing about the goodness of the Lord. And He saved a little old boy, 11 years old, in an out in the middle of nowhere church. Ain't been there in years. A lot of folks said the church is gone. God wasn't there. God's not in that building. But I can tell you, take you to the place. Come on now. Right there in that little old place where we had revival. Where I knelt down. God may not be there now. But I want to tell you, there's a place right there on that floor where He met me. And tonight, He has made an appointment. I'm not sure. Come on now. But He said, "Oh God, help me here." I'm not sure, but what He didn't tell the angels, "I've got an appointment tonight at Flatwoods Holiness Tabernacle. There's some folks going to be there. That what they need is a little heaven down in their soul. They've been miserable. They're lonely and they're sad. Something's been missing. What are you going to do? I'm going to feel that longing in their soul. That empty place that they've been missing for a long time. I'm going to walk right in among them. I'm going to sit right down in their soul. And I am going to make that eternal change. Come on now. I'm going to feel like He instructed the angels before this service tonight. Be on standby. We may erupt into a celebration before this is over. Hey! I feel like telling you that God has walked into our midst and He's stealing and He's drawing and He's pulling on the hearts of those here in the service tonight. But my God shall supply, Philippians 4:19, all your need according to His riches in glory. Listen to this. By Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's some things the preacher can't do. There are some things, come on now, angels have not been given permission to do. But there are some things that He said we'll only receive by Christ Jesus our Lord. And He's walked right in here tonight with a mission in mind. Somebody here tonight needs to hear. You've heard enough sad stories and enough bad news. Come on, it's just a carbon copy of your own life. But can I tell you the good news? That's the gospel. That's what the gospel is. It means good news. And I got good news tonight. But Jesus loves you. I said He loves you. If He did not love you, He would not have taken time to have been a disservice, pulled at your heart, and tried to bring you to the altar.
My wife's coming. Because heaven is settling. Not if He's not decreasing. But I feel the atmosphere becoming heavy with rain. As the winds of God are beginning to blow through this tabernacle. Touching hearts and lives. They've sheltered themselves behind their troubles. But by the power of God, those troubles can be hastened all away. Hallelujah. Could somebody raise their hands tonight and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Could we give a little glory and honor to the one? Listen, we don't have to sit here tonight dismal over our present condition. Listen, I'm saved under all circumstances. I'm saved in every situation. This is excellent. And God wants to touch your life tonight. Is there anybody tonight that would like to get up and come? There is an appointment been made. You did not select this, but the Lord selected it for you. And now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. It seems to be the mode. It seems to be the anthem of this revival. We're in the now time. It's not tomorrow. That's no more time to wait. But God is reaching and He's pulling. You know your heart is beating at a faster rate of speed than it was a few moments ago. Why? Because heaven has interrupted this revival. Hallelujah! To give a visitation to the heart of those that are here. I can feel it just settling right down. As the angels are making their way to the hearts. Because you have just about, you have been reached, you have been touched, and on the verge of surrender, the Master is making His way through this service. Not just settling on, but weaving His way in to the hearts. As heaven is on standby, we'll not start the celebration until you come home. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I can hardly describe this, but I feel the touch. I feel that Shekinah glory. I mean, it's getting heavy in here. It's thick. Hallelujah. I feel like my hair on top of my head is standing right straight up. I'm telling you, this is unlike anything that I have felt in this entire revival. I'm feeling it tonight. Oh, come on now, church. Listen, it's all right for you to throw your hands in the air. Is anybody else in here feeling it tonight? I'm telling you, something is taking place right here in this service tonight. It was almost unannounced, but the church had expectation today, and that expectation is paying dividends in this service tonight, as the children of God are being made once again eyewitness to the presence and the power of Almighty God. The saved and the unsaved alike are right now under the influence of the power of God.
You're not going to resist it much longer as they're getting ready to play. You are getting ready to come. Mama, if you only knew how much he loved you. Well, man said he loved you so much he stretched out his hands and he died. What about it tonight? I'm telling you, man, oh man, I don't think I'd sit there any longer. I'd almost make a run for it. If there was in any way at all any doubt as to my eternal destination, man, I'd fall in this altar. I'd fix it up. I'm telling you, I'd get on the right path. Come on, I'd get it done right here tonight. I'm telling you, God's pulling right here. I said God is pulling. You can feel it on the pulpit. I know you can feel it in the pews. As heaven is making known His power. Come on, it's a full flow. It's a full, amen, full blown. A move of the Holy Ghost right here tonight. It's supernatural. It's out of the ordinary. It's unusual, but it's for you, friend. It's for you. It's the one thing that'll convince you this is it. Why don't you come tonight as they're playing? Could we stand all over the building? I want you to come to the altar. Come and make this meeting, this appointment. He's standing at the altar waiting for you. Let's come tonight. Let's make our way down here. Let's find a place to pray. Come on. Let's come tonight. Let's come. Let's make our way down here and pray. Let's seek God. Would you come? Would you come? As they say, let's come and pray. Come on. Find a place to pray. Everybody, that we all, let's get around this altar. Let's seek God. Let's pour our hearts out as heaven is making another visitation. Let's pray.